says, trusting my brothers, trusting your brothers is essential to establishing and holding up your faith in your ability to transcend doubt, which is lack of sure conviction in yourself. You could take each individual sentence in the Course of Miracles and you could spend a whole hour on it, just like that one sentence. So most people are trying to transcend their doubt, and they're trying to get rid of their sure conviction in themselves. The Course says that what holds up your ability to get beyond your doubt is establishing and holding faith or trust in other people. When it would look like, in terms of our experience, that's what's created the most doubt, has been trying to have trust in other people and then somehow being let down. And the Course is saying that it's just the opposite, that if I really want to have faith in myself and faith beyond doubt, then I have to trust my brother, which is, the Course calls a brother is nothing but a mind that's joined with mind. It has nothing to do with sexual gender. So it says, when you attack a brother, and I say a person, he says, when you attack a person, what you're really saying to that person is that they are limited by what you see in them. So when I attack you, I'm saying, really, you're limited by what I see in you. And he says, what's happening is that I'm not looking beyond a person's mistakes. When I attack a person, I'm not looking beyond their mistake, and I'm also saying, you're limited by what I see in you. And I'm not overlooking your mistake. As a matter of fact, your mistake is going to become magnified. And not only that, it's going to block my awareness of who you really are beyond your errors and past his own seeming errors as well as yours. So I'm going to take that paragraph. I don't care if I don't get any further than that one paragraph. Because it really doesn't matter whether you get past one paragraph. If you actually apply any of these sentences, they'll change your whole perception anyway. But I want to get clear about this because I tend to get upset with people from time to time. And I want to get beyond that. And I want to also let go of my doubts. And so I need to learn how to trust people. So Course is saying, when I attack somebody, what I'm really saying, you know what, Susan, you're limited by what I see in you. And the only thing I'm going to do is focus on your errors. And I'm going to focus on your errors so much that it's going to block my awareness of you as a holy child of God. It's going to block my awareness of you as an unlimited being. And it's also going to keep me from seeing myself as an unlimited being too. That's what I'm doing when I attack somebody. And so if I knew that, I might have a different perception of attack. Okay, so any questions about that paragraph?
When you say attack, that just means having any negative thought about perception of something.
Yeah, it's when I attack somebody. Well, actually, when I by attack, what I'm saying is that you are limited by what I see in you.
Right.
That's what I mean. Is that you know, whatever I see in you right now, that's the way you are.
Right.
Okay, that's attack.
But that's only our perception.
That's only our perception. But what that perception is doing is keeping me from seeing who you really are, but it's also keeping me from seeing who I really am. Okay, so one thing that's cool about the Course is that it's not really so much about accepting it as true at first as giving yourself an opportunity to just hear what it's saying, whether you agree with it or not. Can you follow that logic and reasoning whether you agree with it or not? Everybody with me? Okay, anybody else got anything they want to say about that paragraph?
Just to push what you said just a little bit harder, because I think that's just what I heard you replying. You would have to communicate demonstrably to her in order for it to be an attack. But the attack would exist only insofar as that's what your perception internally is without your actually verbally attacking
her. Right. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't have to say anything to you but see you as limited by whatever I see in you. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is that the same limitations I see in you are potentially the same limitations I can see in myself. So I'm not seeing you past your mistakes, but that also makes my mistakes real to me too.
Charles is saying that you don't have to speak it out loud. As long as it's in your mind,
which is where ultimately all attack is located anyway. usually by the time something gets physical, you totally ignored all kinds of spiritual, mental, and emotional warnings. Like when it gets just absolutely in your face, it didn't just go from zero to in your face. You were constantly overlooking the tips the Spirit was giving you all along the way, until it got to the point that the mistake was so big that it's now physical, to the point that it looks like there's nothing beyond this mistake. And that's the way many people are. If you listen to them, they will be absolutely convinced that the negative perceptions that they have of everything is the way it really is, and they'll also have that physical situation to justify it. But they don't know the physical situation came from their limited perception that blocked all the truth out, to the point that all you see is what's upsetting you, because you don't even see anything else, because you're looking at the mistake, at your perception, and magnifying it. Okay? That's what's really happening with attack.
If you don't want to go here, say something.
Mm-hmm.
Is there then a correlation between that negative feeling perception within you and a subconscious awareness of your, I'm not trying to get psychological, but a quiet knowledge of your shortcomings?
Oh,
or
I think so. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The ultimate premise is that I couldn't see it. I could not see it. The Course says something very simple. In order for me to see anything, I have to see it through my own thoughts. So there's no way I could see anything that there's not a corresponding thought in my own mind, or I couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even recognize it. I couldn't even say you were angry unless I had thoughts of anger, and I know what anger is. So it's no such thing as me even seeing something that somebody else is not in my own mind. And that upsets my ego, because a lot of my specialness comes from believing that I'm better than some people.
That brings around full circle.
That's right.
Because then it strengthens, well, you know,
Well, the Course says that's this whole, in that chapter 24, it talks about this whole chapter is on, it's called the goal of being special, the goal of specialness. And the whole chapter is around how there's nothing more important to us than to be special, that's to be different. And that in order to do that, though, we've got to make somebody greater than and somebody lesser than. And sometimes it'd be us that we make lesser than. Sometimes it'll be us we make greater than. But the minute I want to be different from you, I got to start judging in order to make us different. So just the whole idea of trying to make myself feel great by making you small, that's the most common game that goes on in the world. At least I'm better than so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Mm-hmm. At least I don't do like so-and-so, so-and-so. And that's how people try to feel good about themselves. Okay? Yeah. No, I love it. I'm telling you, I want to get deeper and deeper in this book. I'm looking for some Course in Miracles students, not Course in Miracles visitors. Okay? So I can really give the way that I want to give out all these years of study. And I can't do it with people who are just always touching it lightly. So there will be more discussion. There will be getting more into the book, because I'd rather have five people up here that want to go deep than have people all down the stairs that's not really interested with quick fixes. That's the truth.
Well, we're out to change our mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not going to change our minds by glancing.
And you're not going to do it by glancing. You're not going to do it by not investing time. You're not going to do it by not putting effort. And I can save you a lot of time. And that's not an arrogant statement. I can save you a lot of time, because there are certain mistakes that people tend to make with the Course all the time when they first get in it. And if they would listen to me, I could save them a lot of time, because 25 years of teaching this, I've had a chance to deal with it a lot. You know, I'm telling you, you don't make the same errors. People make the same errors with this material. Like, for instance, and it wasn't an error in you doing this, but like when you said, okay, well, what is attack? And you wanted a clear perception. And then I went back and I said, well, attack is proclaiming that a person is limited by what you see in them, which was exactly what I just got to read. But that's what we got to do. That we have to learn that the Course in Miracles interpretation of something is different from the way that we've learned to look at it. And that's how we get out of the problem. Like, I need to know I'm attacking you in my mind by seeing you as limited by what I see in you, to the point that I don't even see you no more. All I see is the error that I think you're making, and that I not only think you're making, but I think you're limited by it, that you can't even get past it. It's one thing to make a mistake. We all can do that. But what I'm attacking you at is I'm acting like you are only the mistake you're making, and I'm seeing that to the exclusion of everything else. One of the things that used to upset me the most, I would make myself upset about the most, is that you can be in, and I know y'all have had this experience, you can be in a relationship with somebody, and you can be there when they're sick, and you can come up, get up in the middle of the night and help them fix that flat tire, and you can loan them money when they think that you hug them when they hurt. You're there through every little thing that they go through, and the minute you do one friggin' thing in their perception that they don't like, they totally discount every other thing that you've ever done, and all you become is the thing they're upset with you about, and that becomes their whole experience of you. Anybody had that experience?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what the book is saying. I'm going to take that error, and I'm going to magnify that error to the point that I don't see any of the loving things that you've ever done. And not only that, but the person I'm upset with, that's the real you. The good you was the phony. But this person that I think is mistreating me, now that's really them. And that's magnifying the error to the point that you don't see who the person really is, and you lose sight of yourself because you do the same thing to yourself. You'll be so upset with yourself about the mistakes you think you made that you're overlooking how loving and giving and wonderful you are. And so you're always upset with yourself. As if that's the only thing that you've ever done is whatever you're upset with yourself about. Exact same process. Absolutely. And the book wants to take us beyond that. Okay, cool. Anybody else want to go to the next paragraph?
So you can look at someone and see, oh, this person is negative, or this person is angry.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the content is anger.
Mm-hmm.
The form is, it takes different forms.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see something, I mean, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So I understand the fact that I see something and somebody, and I understand that it reflects back to me that I'm angry, or that I have anger, or I have that hate inside.
Inside your mind.
Inside my mind.
And it's good, and it's really good to differentiate that.
Okay.
That it's not inside you. It's not it's inside your perception. It's inside your thoughts. People do that. They'll say stuff like, you are what you think. And I go, no, you're not. You're not what you think. At the core says, you have an identity that is there, that is real beyond what you think. And it has nothing to do with what you think. But what you perceive is what you think in your mind. But it's not you. When you look out the world and you see something negative, you don't go, you shouldn't say, well, that's me. You know, you should say, that's in my mind, that's in my perception, that's a reflection of a thought in my mind, but that's not a reflection of you. There's nothing that's a reflection of you but love. Anything but love is not a reflection of you. So in a way, what you see is not you. And we've been learning, what I see is me. And the truth is, what you see is not you. What you see is what you think. See, that's different. That's totally different. It's a big difference. It's a subtle difference.
My question is, so I saw somebody, uh-huh, it's like, wow, you know, this person has a lot of anger in me. I mean, a lot,
right,
of whatever.
Yes.
I see a lot of anger in this,
right,
person. And so I thought, huh. And I tried to look more carefully and understood that at the core was love. So I'm just wondering, was that the right perception of that? I mean, can you look at both, or do you just look at, I mean, it's like I saw the block of anger,
mm-hmm,
and then I saw on the other side the love.
Right.
So my question is, what's the correct way of seeing that?
Mm-hmm. The correct way, there are many correct ways of seeing it, because the book gives so many different ways of looking at anything. But the most common thing to think of is that if I'm looking at that, your anger, what I'm really looking at is a limited perception that I have of you, and a limited perception that you have of yourself. So I can really say what I'm looking at. You can really walk to a person and you could go, you know, right now I'm really having a really limited perception of you. And you and I need to talk about it. I mean, that's really the way we're going to communicate as we really evolve. We're going to have a whole new language. and you won't be in repression. See, you have to watch. I'm telling you, as a spiritual aspirant, watch the trying to be positive all the time. I'm telling you, that trying to be positive all the time is the biggest trap that people could ever do to themselves. Tell the truth. That's what we need to do. You know, it's okay for me. If I feel what I think of as anger, all I have to do is identify it correctly. And one of the identifications would be, right now I'm having a real limited perception, and I want to see the truth beyond my limited perception. That way I'm not ignoring the fact that you're angry. I'm acknowledging that you're angry, but I'm also acknowledging that what that is a limited perception that we are both having or that you are having. And then I can go to the next level and go, okay, I want to get beyond this limited perception. Do you want to get beyond this limited perception too? So you're never in denial. If you're doing the course correctly, you're actually being more honest about your jealousy, your guilt, your anger than you would ever be in any other teaching. You really would. And not only that, you wouldn't feel guilty about saying, you know, I feel hate for my daddy. You know, true students don't like to say the word hate. Hate is a strong word. And so they think that if you say hate, you're going to manifest hate. And the course said, no, you've already manifested. It's like me saying by calling this a CD, I'm going to manifest the CD. No, I'm really just identifying what's already been manifested. And then I can decide whether I want to have another CD. So if I want to stop CDs, I have to recognize this is a CD, and then I go, well, you know, I'm not interested in CDs. You follow what I mean? So when you say I'm angry, or I feel hate, or I feel jealousy, you're not creating it. You're just identifying the CD so that you can really decide whether or not you want to keep manifesting that over and over again. Don't be in denial and go, well, I'm going to pretend that CD isn't there so it won't make more CDs. The CD is here. It is here. That's why the best people who are seeking truth are the ones who are the most willing to embrace their dark side and tell the truth about their dark side. Say, you know, I got some stuff needs to be changed in me. You know, and I know it. That's the person you can work with, not the one that says, I don't have any of those issues anymore, even though my life is crumbling around me. Yeah, I met people like that.
Is it fancy to be like commanding that you want to be around those people and know that they can identify, they can be honest with the fact that they've been angry or done hate?
Remember that the easiest way is just apply it to yourself and don't worry about them. I'm telling you, that's the easiest, that's the fastest path. Because, see, you can call your anger a limited perception of yourself that you want to get past. You can call their anger a limited perception that you want to get past. That doesn't involve them at all. That's what I like about this. Yes?
Every time I sit down and read a course or read anything positive, I'm always thinking, oh, so-and-so could use this. And I know that's just a way of distracting myself from the fact that I could use it.
Me too.
How do I not go there?
It's to make it okay to go there and just use it as a trigger to remind you not to go there. See, that's what's happening to me now.
Oops, I'm doing it again.
Right. So I say, oops, I'm doing it again. Okay, I'm ready to. And it may be a situation, and you kind of like know who you can share things with. Like if it's really someone you're supposed to share it with, you will. You'll do it before you even think about it. You know what I mean? So even if you did try to get somebody else to do it, you're still not committing a sin. You're still not doing nothing to even worry about. You know what I mean? So even you did run out the door and go, I'm going to try to get every friend I got to get into this. Okay. You're still not doing nothing bad. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So you can feel innocent.
But I'm not
you
doing
forget.
The real work and telling the client to meet.
You're not doing it the easy way until you apply it to you. See, that's the thing you want to think about. I'm going to tell you about me. I like to do things the easy way. I'd admit it. I don't believe in that pain game stuff. Okay? I really want it easy. And easy, I found, is always being willing to listen to guidance and follow it. You know what I mean? I really do realize how much pain I could have saved myself if I had listened to my mama and my dad. And I'm willing to admit that. I really could have saved myself a lot of challenges if I had listened to those who were more knowledgeable and experienced. That didn't mean I wasn't going to have my experience, but I sure could have made it easier if I had paid more attention. You know, so when I say easy way, that's what I mean, that I want to take the path of least resistance. okay? And so if I can apply anger as being my limited perception that's blocking my perception of who you really are and who I really am, to me, that's easier than trying to get you to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, don't you agree, isn't it the easiest way? I'm not saying you can always experience it as easy, but it's changing yourself. Wouldn't that be easier than changing someone else for real? For real. Y'all all agree with me on that?
Right.
For real. That's not just an abstract concept. That's for real. Now, what will freak you out is when you really change your perception, 99% of the time, I swear, it will look just like they changed.
Mm-hmm.
When you really do it, I'm not talking about fake do it, but when you really do it, it will look like the people. I had the meanest grandmama on earth. She was like the Wicked Witch on the Wizard of Oz. That's my limited perception that I had of her. So she was mean. She wasn't kind, she was mean. But it was so weird. It's like as I changed my mind, glad my grandmother got nicer and nicer and nicer and nicer as I studied the Course in Miracles. She died in 1990. She's like 110. And I noticed that all through my soldiering with the Course in Miracles, every time I'll change my mind, it will look just like the person changed around me. And I like that way. I like it. You had your hand up a couple of times. You have a question? Or comment?
Does this lesson get into one of the first things you said was the way that you change that is trust.
Yeah, because that's what...
You're going to talk about that?
Yeah, we're going to go on through and explain every bit of it. But what I want to do is just go slow enough that we can kind of like build on it. So we can get, and I will be going through this lesson even if I don't finish it today, because it's a very important lesson. So if we get a chance to read it, read it. But we're going to go through this one step by step, because I think so much hinges on just that.
We got to chew it up.
Yeah, we got to chew it up and we got to swallow it, you know. Like it says, like the title, I'm going to give you some tips about reading the Course. Like it says, I trust my brothers, who are one with me. But wherever you see a comma in the Course, it's always giving you the definition of what it's just said. For instance, I trust my brothers. Well, who are my brothers? Who are one with me. So a brother, according to the Course, is not a man. It's who's one with me. And that's what I need to see, because my limited perception of you is definitely keeping me from recognizing I'm one with you. So I don't see you as my brother, quote unquote. I don't see you as who is one with me, because I'm angry.
But isn't everybody one with me?
Right. And the challenge is we have limited perceptions of each other that keep us from realizing it. And so the Course is about getting rid of that misperception.
So it's not saying that I should only trust the people in this room, but I don't have to trust people I think have betrayed me, or people I think have let me down.
It's going to show everybody. Yeah, this section is going to show you how to get past that.
And car sales.
I guarantee you.
Car sales. George Bush.
Well, if you really accept the spiritual law, which is that you can't lose, then even if someone tried to cheat you, you still know that you couldn't lose. See, that's what we forget about. Is that in terms of what you deserve according to universal law, no one can prevent you from receiving that. So even if someone was trying to cheat you, and even if it looked like they did, they really can't, because you can never not receive what you deserve based on who you really are. Nobody can block your good. It may look like that was the worst thing that could ever happen to you. Just like if you walk out of here today, and right before you get up to that light, your car was to stop, and you think that was a horrible thing. But you don't know that if you had gone through that light at that particular time, a truck would have ran into you and killed you on the spot. And if you knew that, you go, thank God my car broke down before I got to the light. So we have to realize all of our sense of loss about anything is just coming from our own limited perception of the whole situation. So he said, that's why you know loss isn't real. He says, the reason why you know loss isn't real is because no one can agree upon what it really means. One man's gain is another man's loss. One thing that makes a person feel great is the same thing makes another person feel horrible. So he's saying we don't really know what loss is. It just varies from person to person. That's how you know it's not ultimately real. It's a perception you have. Like if I really knew I was eternal, like this book says, if I really knew I couldn't die, and I knew that my parents couldn't die, and my relatives couldn't die, and my friend, and I knew that, no joke, I absolutely knew they were spiritual beings, would you really, really feel bad about reading about people dying? As you feel right now. I'm throwing that out to the group. If you really knew that no one really died, would that change your perception of death when you looked at the news and you read the newspaper? I would have to. You would have to. If I knew that that person didn't die, it would change my whole perception of death. Okay, so if my mother didn't die, but I just can't see my mother, then have I lost my mother?
No.
What is keeping me from talking to my mother? Well, the Course says what's keeping you from talking to your mother is that you believe when the body dies, you can no longer communicate with the person anymore. That's why you still don't know your loved ones still exist. You don't believe that they do.
You probably don't believe that they do because you want that conversation to continue as you've always known it.
Right. And you think you have to have the physical form to have the conversation, and obviously the physical form is gone, so you believe the conversation is gone.
Is it possible then that you can equate physical form with ego?
The physical form, the Course says, is that's where the ego lives. So when I realized that, I went, that's where the ego lives, and it looks like I'm in it. And that's where the ego lives. And it looks like I'm in it. Could I be the ego? Or could I be so identified with my ego that now I think I am just in this body too? Very interesting questions, but very powerful questions. You know. And the Course has explanations for all the questions you always ask yourself about everything. It's just that the answer can be more alarming than the question. it'll answer any question y'all can ask me. I could tell you basically what the Course in Miracles says about it. But are you ready to accept that? You see what I'm saying? Are you ready to accept the answer, which is no one dies? So you really shouldn't be upset about anyone dying. Being upset about someone dying, in the sense of thinking they're gone forever, is proof that you don't recognize the truth. It's what the Course says. That's how you know you don't recognize the truth. That's not saying that you wouldn't feel like you'd like to have that person around, or that you'd miss not having a relationship with that person. That's one thing. Like, I can miss you when you leave the class, you know what I mean? But to believe that you no longer exist because you left my class, now that's a mistake.
And if you correlate that to death, then it makes it easier to understand death.
Exactly. Totally. And he says that until you deal with death, you're never going to have peace. Because you'll never have complete peace thinking you're going to die. And not only thinking you're going to die, but don't even know when or how it's going to happen. He says you're not going to be peaceful thinking that you die and then don't even know when it's going to happen and it could happen. You will never experience complete peace until you know you're beyond death. Then this world becomes really cool because you won't be so frightened in it.
Which is one reason this country is so warped.
It's why?
Because of what we've been taught on as Christians.
Yeah. Oh, all over the world. And a lot of religions, it's the idea of separation. And that's why I say I want to do this one really slow, because this is, to me, is one of the major, major lessons in this book.
So, so I really feel good that my mother's not dead.
I really feel good because my mother, I love my mother. Me and
but
my mom
so
were tight.
Me and my dad is there.
Okay, and that's loving too. See, that's loving too. You know, because how you feel about your dad has zero effect on your dad's existence, his divinity, who he really is. And what would make you not love your dad would be your perception of him that was limited to the mistakes that it looked like he made to the point that they became your dad. And that's all your dad was. So now when you think about your dad, you just think about the limited experiences that it looked like you had through your dad. You see what I mean? Yeah. So, but your dad, who he really was, is beyond his errors, like who you really are is beyond your errors. And the truth of that has nothing to do at all with how you feel about your dad. That's why you can stop. That's why you can stop feeling guilty about how you feel about your dad. See, if I could feel guilty about you or feel anger about you, and as soon as I felt that anger about you, you blew up in a million pieces or you caught a deadly disease, then I should feel guilty about, I can say I could feel guilty about what I think about you. But if I thought the most dastardly things about you, if my mind saw you having horns growing out from all over your body in the most uncomfortable places, but none of those horns ever sprouted out of you, which they're not, then I haven't really done anything to you. But it sure didn't make me feel good. See what I mean? So that's what you have to realize, that you know, the people that you won't forgive might be partying in Hawaii at this very moment, not even thinking about you, but you making yourself feel bad. Or like a person who won't have relationships anymore because they had a relationship that hurt them. And they don't realize that the person that they had the relationship with that hurt them might right now be having another one that they're totally enjoying. They're sitting at home not letting themselves have one at all to punish the person that they're mad at. And so the course really brings them home to us that your attack thoughts are just attacking you. I don't know how to break this to you, but you're not affecting your dad's reality by hating your dad. But the way you feel about your dad is giving you a limited perception of yourself and your dad.
So that's no different than what we were just saying. He, whether or not his dad is in the physical form or not, because it's still your perception of dad.
Right.
And that is not who dad truly was or is. No, not even was, who is.
Right.
That is not true of who your dad is.
That is not true of who your dad is. And what you want to do is...
Even
though the physical body is no longer here.
At some deep level, I ordered him that way. I ordered him up off of my casting list.
If you were to look at it, if you were to use that perception, like somehow or another that was a contract or an agreement that you entered into to have some kind of a spiritual lesson, you would forgive your father.
That's it. Well, I tried once. I tried to see him very young in the country where he was born, being treated like an animal.
By
my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped a lot.
Okay. Yeah, remember, whatever way you can look at it that allows you to let go of the grievance frees your prosperity. See, if you were to look at it that way, you'd be amazed at how your motivation for looking at people... Because I have a tendency not to want to forgive another person for them. Because if I'm mad at you, why do I want to do it for you anyway? But if I could really get... You know something, Earl? I look at it this way. In a material level, I go, Earl, every time you hold that grievance, see that as you taking money out of your bank account and just throwing it away. Or every time you hold that grievance, see it as that's another friend you could have had that's not showing up. Or another, you know, because when I see how it affects me, like what I like about the course is it teaches me how to use the law of self-preservation to my advantage instead of to my disadvantage. It's like it's taking my innate desire to look out for myself and flipping it around so that I think looking out for myself is looking out for everybody. And so out of my own sense of self-preservation, then I start being loving to everybody because I know it'll make everything okay for me. And then people go, well, isn't that the wrong motivation? I don't care if that's a person's motivation, if they're going to treat me lovingly. It's okay for you to look out for yourself if you look at it like looking out for yourself is also looking out for me. I don't care if that's your motivation. You're still going to be treating me cool. I'm not going to get into, well, if you're really a loving person, you just shouldn't be doing it for yourself. You should be, you know, it's like that's the kind of thinking that's got the world screwed up right now. If we got this misguided sense of I need to sacrifice myself in order to make everybody else around me happy, and people defend that idea even though nobody's happy from it. Nobody's happy from that idea, but it's the first thing people to pop out. You know, well, you need to look out for everybody else first. They say, hey, who do you see doing it?
It's like words, it's never worked before. Why should it work now?
Right.
You know, on a larger scale.
And they tell you on the airline to put the oxygen on you first.
Yeah, because you certainly couldn't have nobody else if you suffocated. So remember that the next time you're ready to put somebody else's peace before yours. You know, if you really want to make me, I tell you, the people I know that are happy, they're the loving people that I'm around. Just check it out.
I had an interesting experience. I was doing one of the exercises and asked me to answer the question, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And once I really answered that, I forgave my father and I saw him as a perfect father for me. My mother too. Because who am I? I came into this world to be this person. If I think of who I'm supposed to be, then I hate my father and my mother. But if I think of who I really am, well, I couldn't have picked more perfect parents.
Bingo.
Even for the crappy things they did to me.
Think about
that. That's the lessons I wanted to learn.
If you were to keep that perception and you would refuse to let anything or anybody change that perception, you go straight to heaven, which is peace, the real world. You'd be walking around in a world that looked like the world everybody else was walking around in, except you would have nothing but peace with the people that you were around. I promise you that. That's the perception. And your ego is going to be, the part of your mind is going to try to attack that idea every way it possibly can. Yeah.
It keeps telling me who I think I should be. I should be a lawyer. Yeah, this stuff.
It's okay to be a lawyer. It's just about still using being a lawyer to remember who you really are.
Yeah.
Don't get it. Well, like the course said, yeah.
Who am I? Then you're the perfect teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Who am I?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have anything but the perfect teacher.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it's set up.
I'm an innocent child of God, but then there's like a specific way for me to go about doing that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what the book is for. Okay, yeah. It's like I keep hearing this stuff that I'm a cool person. The book is about, well, let me show you how to get to that cool person.
Exactly.
Okay. So, the next paragraph. Now, see, that was what I meant. That was one paragraph. And we could have went on all day on that one paragraph.
You're doing the rest of the afternoon.
You know.
I don't have to be anywhere until 2:40.
I feel like that a lot of times when I do classes where I'll say, you know, I feel like saying, those of you who have to leave, I understand. Those who want to keep on going and can, let's keep on going. You know, and sometimes I do that because I'm just not ready. An hour isn't enough for me. Even though most people feel like they need a badge of honor because they lasted a whole hour. So you can tell, they're like, oh, I really did a whole hour. Okay. It says perception, this is cool. It says perception has a focus, okay? And it is this focus that gives consistency to what you see. So what gives consistency to what you're looking at is your what? Focus. I'm focusing on these glasses, right? So I consistently see the glasses. How long will I see the glasses, y'all?
Until
I stop looking at them. Hello. Okay. Then it says, he says, change but this focus, and what you behold will change accordingly. Here we go. Here's an example for visuals like me. I focused on the glasses. Now I'm focusing on the tape recorder. So guess what? Right there. What I see changed. Hello? Y'all with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. My father's mistakes. How long will I see my father's mistakes?
As long as you look at them.
Thank you. If I look at the tape recorder, am I in it? The tape recorder of forgiveness, true perception course, am I looking at the mistakes any longer?
No.
So therefore, what I see changes accordingly.
It's a choice.
So he says, your vision now will shift to give support to the intent which has replaced the one you held before. So what does that mean? If you remove your focus on the person's sins or mistakes, then you experience the peace that comes from faith in sinlessness or innocence. Now, this faith receives its only sure support from what you see in others past their sins. So if I want this new faith in my father to have sure support, it's going to come from what I'm willing to see past the way I think my father is. It's gonna come from, if I'm gonna see something beside these glasses, it's gonna come from my having a faith in seeing the tape recorder. Notice that it didn't come from my faith in seeing my father's innocence so much as my willingness to change my focus in that direction. Because it's my willingness to change my focus in that direction that will create the faith that I need. Okay, so your willingness to see your father differently will support the faith that you need to see your father differently. So the faith is going to come from your willingness to see your father differently. We think the faith has got to come first, and then you see your father differently. The course is saying your willingness to change your focus will give you the support you need to see it. Y'all, you with me on that, everybody? Because that's something I want to remember. Did y'all hear that? Did you get the difference between the effort of trying to have faith in everybody? And of course, saying no, your faith comes from your willingness to see everybody differently.
Which is how, of course, the miracles happen. They said there's got to be a better way.
Mm-hmm.
They
right.
created that space for that to come
through. For that to come through, from their willingness to see another way. So it's not, can I have faith in my brother? Am I willing to see my brother differently? That will give me the faith. Okay, everybody with me on how you get faith? Which is different from how I was taught.
Oh, yeah.
That's different. That's very different. But I can see the logic behind it. You know. Okay, then it says, their mistakes, if focused on, hello, are witnesses to sins in you. So that's the same as saying, their mistakes, if you focus on their mistakes, is a witness to the mistakes in you that you haven't forgiven, which is what Course calls a sin. It's just a mistake that you will not let go of. He said, and you will transcend their sight, which means I want to see the sinlessness that lies beyond the mistake that I see in you. So if I'm so to me, how I would make that practical is I would go, I see this in you that I'm using to upset me. I see this limited perception of you, but I am willing to see what is in you beyond what I see in you. I want to see in you beyond what I see in you. That's the statement that transcends errors. I want to see in you beyond what I see in you. I want to see in my child beyond what I'm seeing in my child. You have to ask to go beyond the perception that's causing you pain, rather than focus on the perception that's causing you pain to the exclusion of what's beyond it, which is the way we do it. Okay. That was paragraph two. I love A Course in Miracles. It's not for the faint of heart. Okay, and it talks about that paragraph.
Yeah, ever since we did that lesson, and I wish to see this differently,
mm-hmm.
I've been really, really ardently using that whenever I'm upset or something looks like it's going wrong or whatever. And I just start saying, you know, I wish to see this differently. I wish to see this differently. I'm willing to see this differently. I'm willing to see this differently. And go through that and then say, Holy Spirit, guide my sight. I will add to that now the transcend beyond what I already see. But that's really powerful. Every time I do that, whatever it was, particularly with depression,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was, it's like I've gone past it while I wasn't looking or something.
It's changed. Thank you. It it works.
Yes, and just I don't do anything, and I don't handle the emotion or anything. I just take a few minutes and get quiet, and I just do that. Let me, like what we did in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine who's my counselor, who's a Course in Miracles person, we always, in our counseling sessions, we take a moment and we say, Holy Spirit, guide, you know, what we're doing. And so I added that to the, I wish to see this differently. And things just change, and I don't have to do anything.
I need do nothing. I need
not
do
interfere.
Nothing. But not interfere. I need to do nothing except not to interfere.
Yeah.
And so what we're learning as Course in Miracles students is how to get out of our own way and let it do its thing. Where the average person is busy trying to, like the Course says, figure out the next thing to do.
So if I add the thing about transcending what I see in you,
mm-hmm.
aren't I also secretly asking to transcend what I see in me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because your mind will automatically apply to you what you apply to everybody else. Automatically. So if I'm learning how to ask to look beyond your errors, well, my mind's going to do the same thing with my own errors. I'm going to automatically start forgiving myself and looking beyond my mistakes automatically. That's what I like that word, automatically. I won't have to. Right now, it's a manual process. I have to think, stop a minute, think right. This. But eventually, it's going to become automatic, and you're going to do it without thinking about it. Every time your mind sees any kind of an error that makes you feel any kind of lack of peace, your mind is going to automatically correct it and change the perception and get rid of it. One day, we'll just automatically correct any erroneous thought that comes up without having to stop. Remember what the Course says, can I apply, can I analyze it, can I do it? That whole process is going to become totally moot for us.
Say that one more time. I need to do nothing.
Yeah, except not to interfere. Yeah, I need to do nothing except not to interfere. And we're learning how not to interfere with what will happen on its own. It's a different kind of teaching. It's hard teaching for the ego, because the ego is the part of us that wants to be in charge of what it doesn't understand.
I have a new word. For a while, I was very new thought. Thought there was no devil.
Mm-hmm.
The ego is my devil.
The ego is the devil. Yeah. The difference is it doesn't exist. The Course doesn't look at it as something that exists on its own out there trying to do something to you. It's your own erroneous thoughts in your mind that you're using to jam yourself up. So you can end the devil. The devil is our creation. The devil is an idea that people who don't want to take responsibility for how they behave love. It's the most irresponsible thought that you can come up with. The devil made me treat you like this. I mean, that's the epitome of irresponsibility. Yeah. And that's why it's so popular.
For Christians to blame Jesus.
The devil made me do it, right? And then if I just claim Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm okay. See, in both situations, I didn't really have to change anything about my mind at all. I see why not? I'm tempted to go for that one. Especially if it's going to make everybody, you know, that's pretty tempting. That's pretty easy. That's pretty easy. Oh, Jesus, I claim Jesus as my Savior. Now I'm okay. Oh, the devil is what made me do everything wrong. I can definitely see why that. And it's okay to attack everybody because they deserve to be punished. It's the perfect ego thought system. You couldn't ask for a better thought system for fear than that. That's why it's so popular. I can understand why a class like this would have 10 people and a church that teaches that would have 20,000. It makes perfect sense to me. Perfect sense. You have to be such an advanced soul to be willing to take this much responsibility for your perception. And you'll be the one that's having a much easier life than the people who think they're doing all the right things and yet they're suffering all the time. And we all know that. Good Miss, little Miss So-and-so that's the nicest little person in the world, but every time you look at it, she's got some tragedy. We all know those people. They're nice and their life is just full of one tragedy after another. And we ask that. So, well, why is that? Well, it's because they don't realize that they have attack thoughts. She might be nice, but she's afraid of somebody robbing her. You know what I'm saying? She might be nice, but she thinks she can be hurt. And see, that's what I'm saying. I'm nice, but I have attack thoughts. And so those attack thoughts manifest themselves. And I feel like an innocent victim, and I don't know how it's my own attack thoughts that's corresponding with my experience. Because I don't even think that thought is in me. But the Course says we don't realize that the thought of being attacked is just as much of an attack thought as attacking someone. So a good person thinks it's okay to think about fearing attack. So you can be a good person in fear attack, but you don't realize, well, what you're still doing is giving energy to attack. And then you wonder why it happens. You go, well, why did it happen to me? Well, you have total faith in it. You have total faith in the idea that you can be attacked. So he says, you limit your perception of yourself to the person that can be attacked, and then you draw what you think of as attack to you. And where does that come from? My limited perception of everybody around me. I know it. It's like, wow, this stuff is so deep. It's so simple, but it's so freaking profound. It's so profound. It's an explanation that my ego doesn't like, but I swear it's an explanation that there's a part of me that's thrilled to hear. Every time I hear stuff like that, there's a part of me that feels ecstasy. Even though the part of me that likes to be a victim is going, hell no. Okay. Hell no. You know what I'm saying? So you got to let that part of you do its thing. You got to sit it right in the chair right next to you and let it scream and shout, you know. I know I didn't have nothing to do with that, mama. I know. That's right. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Go on. Get it out. Don't try to stop it. Let it get it out. Okay. So I'm going to stop here. I'm going to do the love offering, and then I'm going to do a quick review of what we did today before we go out. How about that? And I truly appreciate you all's generosity in sharing with me as a full-time teacher this stuff. So if you find it of value to you and you're able to share and want to, I really appreciate that.
I'm interested to know, how long did it take you for the process to become automatic?
Some areas it was automatic immediately. Some areas I'm getting the automatic 25 years later.
Okay.
So it's totally gradual. Okay. It varies from person to person. But I can help your automatic be faster than my automatic, because you can reap the benefits of everything that I've learned without having to spend 25 years.
For sure.
You see, and that's what the course says. That's what relationships are supposed to do. They're supposed to save you time. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
If you're a motorcycle mechanic,
why reinvent the wheel?
Why do I need to go to motorcycle school if I have to get you to fix my motorcycle? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That saved me time. And so we got to realize that all relationships are supposed to save us time. They're supposed to speed you along because you're willing to learn what that other person has learned, get the benefits of their learning without going through their experience.
Well, just being exposed to it,
because
you don't hear this stuff every day.
No. If you look at, the Course says there's only one message that the world is trying to give you. And if you pay attention to everything, you'll see that it's only one message. And I went, what? You are a body. That's the one thing the world, and not only a body, but your body that's vulnerable to attack. That's all the world trying to teach you. And so sometimes when you're sitting at home, especially during the day, and you watch TV, it really will freak you out how much every single commercial, everything on there is something related to the body and to somehow make your body feel more comfortable. And then if you watch the news, all the commercials are pharmaceutical products. Check it out. When you watch the news, they're always advertising some kind of a medicine or cars and trucks. I don't know, those are the two things. For some reason, it'll be that you'll see the most car commercials and medicine commercials doing news broadcasts.
And the medicine commercials have gotten so that the disclaimer is longer
than what it says going to benefit you. I think that's great too. They'll say, well, take this for depression. I heard one yesterday for depression. And they will say, you know, and it could cause liver conditions, cancer, that's how dizziness, and I go, wait a minute. You know, the side effects is 30 things in order to have one beneficial effect, maybe.
That sounds.
But you may die.
Yeah, you may die from this, but it sure did help me feel better. You know. Yeah. It at least says something about the laws that's making the illusion even more obvious to us, which I think is cool. You know, like the fact that they do have to say it could cause this. You know, I remember the time that they never said that. So you really thought, you know, that was okay.
You know, on that other topic, I saw a bumper sticker on Bolton that said, who will Jesus follow?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, who would Jesus bomb?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I tell you, try not to become more alarmed as you wake up and you see how insane this place is. That's one thing that you have to watch. Don't let that throw you into a deeper depression, because you're really on the way out. But part of becoming conscious is that you'll see the insanity of the world clearer than you've ever seen it before. And you'll wonder why no one else is noticing how insane it is, how they can even think it's normal, you know, as you wake up. But that's because you're waking up, so you can get in your spiritual vehicle and move. You can leave the neighborhood, but you don't have to attack the people in the neighborhood. You don't have to bomb the people in the neighborhood. You don't have to try to stop the people from leaving the neighborhood. So you don't have to feel guilty about leaving your fear behind. That's what I'm saying. Which people do that too. It's like, well, what about my cousins and my friends? And you didn't leave them behind. You're totally willing to support their awakening as much as you can. But you're also going to love them enough to know that they have a right to go through their awakening process at the speed that's right for them. That's how I'm going to show you my love, is that I'm not going to try to block you. I'm not going to limit you to who you think you are. And I'm always willing to help you go beyond where you think you are, but I'm not going to rescue you, and I'm not going to caretake you. But I will certainly help you, be there with you, support you through how I can support you, number one. I'm going to do it the way I can do it, not necessarily the way you want me to. You have to get that clear. I'm willing to help you the way I can help you. I can't help you necessarily the way you want me to help you. And I don't believe you're limited by the situation that you're in. So I'm going to see you beyond your limitations, and I'm not going to do anything to interfere with your happiness. And I'm going to be available for as much truth as you want. That's all I can do. So feel innocent about giving yourself peace. Okay? So the main thing we want to walk out here with today is, I'm upset because I see a limited perception of you, and I want to see you beyond my limited perception. I'm upset because I see a limited perception of you, and I want to see you beyond this limited perception. So I am willing to change my focus. And if I change my focus, what I see will change accordingly. So I want to change what I'm focusing on. I want to change what I'm focusing on in myself, and I want to change what I'm focusing on in everyone around me, and I want to change what I'm focusing on in the world. And I want to change what I'm focusing on in my personal life, and I want to change what I'm focusing on in my emotional life. I want to change my focus in every area where I'm feeling conflict. I want to change my focus. I want to go beyond what I see. Please, Holy Spirit, help me see beyond what I see. That's the prayer, basically. Help me see beyond this mistake that I'm limiting myself and this other person to. All right, you God beings. Tomorrow is 7 o'clock. This is the next slaughter. ego slaughter hour. But don't worry, y'all get all the rest of the day to build your ego back up. And you'll get lots of help. But of course, that every time you turn your head away from your old way of seeing things in the body, when you look at the world again, it's never quite the same. So if you realize it or not, when you go back out, you won't be seeing it exactly the same. Each time we move a little bit closer to the center.
Is it helpful to know that you're aware that we're not going to achieve a state of quote unquote perfection? In other words, just like you said, you always
see a process.
Right. You always see the world differently.
Yeah.
But you're better at negotiating, quote unquote, the not only the world, but giving yourself your own reality,
yeah.
Your own truth.
Yes.
And changing
yeah.
those perceptions.
Yes.
So
yes.
You don't, we won't necessarily, well, not even necessarily, we won't fix it.
We can't. It's very important that we recognize that we are not on the path of fixing ourselves.
So the prayer, as this lady said and you just said, is, it's only in that prayer that we ever come close to fixing it all or correction.
It's in that change of focus and that willingness to see beyond the limited perception I have. And don't forget that part about if you want to get develop the faith comes after the willingness to see them differently. Don't forget
that.
You finally put in the horse before the cart when you go, I got the willingness to see you differently, and now I can develop the faith instead of going, I got to have the faith before I see you differently. Because that's the hard way. That's the hard way. Okay.